For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
What up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Chris Russell Show, Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge movement, Liddell Willingham, taking you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. Loaded show for you all. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join us at 2:15. We'll get his thoughts on cutdown day and what to look forward to. Is it safe to begin looking ahead to week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? That is what we will do here over the next 3 hours or so. Busy couple of days around the Beltway. Nats were off last night. They're back home tonight hosting a weekend series against the Chicago Cubs. Jake Irvin looking for win number 10 on the season. Looking at the weather outside and looking how difficult it was for me to get in here today, I don't know if we're going to see Jake Irvin and the Washington Nationals go out and try to pick up another W here this evening. I mentioned it last night on overtime, if you got the chance to check me out at all. Dylan Cruz and the start that he's off to, the future is now for the Washington Nationals. Hopefully, we are able to see some more of our pal Dylan Cruz, a 4-for-11 start for him in his young career to this point. It has been a fun past couple of weeks for the Washington Nationals. The call-up of James Wood, the call-up of Dylan Cruz, young starting pitching continuing to make strides. So we will keep you updated on the forecast. It is currently slated for a 7:05 first pitch, if I'm not mistaken. But we will see if we are able to get that one started on time. I honestly would love to get into the Washington Commanders. We heard from general manager Adam Peters yesterday. We also heard from assistant general manager Lance Newmark. But our pal Adam Peters joined Grant and Danny over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, and gave some very interesting nuggets in terms of what the expectation is for this season. How do you manage building towards the future alongside trying to win right now in 2024? And he gave some insight on a certain position that I am absolutely terrified of. And me and Chris have talked about this on this very radio show. We'll hear from Adam Peters as the show rolls on here, but I want to start off with last night. The college football game heard around the world. It feels like everyone that had a pulse was tuned in to Colorado and North Dakota State last night. And if you got the chance to watch, good for you. If you didn't, shame on you. It was a hell of a start to a big-time weekend that we have here coming up in college football. Triple header on Saturday. I'm saying on Saturday like it's 3-4 days from now. Triple header tomorrow. Clemson and Georgia, the big one in that triple header slate on ESPN that we'll all be focused in on. 1 versus 14 matchup. We saw a massive upset last weekend in college football with the 10th ranked team in the country. The Florida State Seminoles going down at the hands of Brent Key and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. I don't know if the first weekend was a teaser in terms of the amount of upsets we are going to see here in week number one of the college football season, but I do think in terms of the reputation of the ACC, massive for Clemson to be able to be in this game this weekend. And looking at it early here, talking about the spread and the line, I believe Georgia 11.5-point favorites. If Clemson can hang in this game, I don't even think they have to win it. If Clemson can hang in this game, there is a real legit shot that the ACC begins to get some more respect. Because if we're looking at it from the vantage point of, well, what conferences are strong enough to get teams in with an automatic bid, I think we assume it's going to happen with the Big Ten because the Big Ten champion, I think, is going to end up being Ohio State. But we know teams like Oregon are going to have a real shot to get in and make it. We know a team like Penn State, who's got everything riding on this year, is going to have a good opportunity to make it. So the reputation of the conference, I would think, is a lot more important this year with the expanded college football playoff. But getting back to last night and what happened, I'm telling you, I was prepared to come in here and completely eviscerate Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. But the more and more you add context to last night's game, it's a pretty decent win for Coach Prime and company. See, when you see North Dakota State on the schedule, I think a lot of people assume that it's a program, because it's an FCS program, they assume it's a program that can't necessarily compete with every team in FBS. It was very evident from the get-go last night that physically up front, where North Dakota State has really made their mark the past couple of years, they've dominated FCS ball, up front, they are as advertised. On the offensive line, on the defensive line, that is what allowed them to stay in that football game. From the outset of it, you saw North Dakota State make a concerted effort to pound the rock. And that was the big problem spot last year for Colorado. Could they withstand other teams running it right at them? And they've went and got guys through the portal. They've brought in a star-studded freshman class headlined by Jordan Seaton, the best tackle in all of high school football. But that's on the offensive side of the football. Defensively, they couldn't stop a running faucet. I genuinely feel that way about Colorado. They won. It was impressive to see. You got to see arguably the best player in college football, Travis Hunter, go for 7 catches, 132, and 3 touchdowns. That's fine. That's great to watch. Shador, outside of the boneheaded interception that he threw in the red zone, made a very strong case that he should be the number one quarterback taken coming up in the 2025 draft. You saw those things last night. But I think big picture, in terms of what year two is supposed to be for Coach Prime and company, not a good start. Not a good start. Because let's just be honest about this. Colorado's first couple of games of the season, they should be able to hang. They should be fine. They're at Nebraska next weekend in primetime on NBC. Shocker. They're in primetime. Primetime, Coach Prime, made for prime. It's the riddle that writes itself. Then they followed up with Colorado State. We know how massive that matchup last year was. The, what was it, double overtime win that they ended up getting coming back in the fourth quarter. Then you've got Baylor, UCF, and then you get into the meat of your schedule where you've got 18th-ranked Kansas State. You're on the road against 21st-ranked Arizona. You got Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. So it is not some sort of cupcake schedule for Coach Prime and company. If they get to 6-7 wins, or God forbid, dare I say it, 7-8 wins, they will have earned it completely. They will have earned it completely. Make no mistake about it. But I will say this about watching the game last night, and I am a fan of the Colorado program. I am a fan of Deion Sanders. I don't think he is fairly covered in the media in terms of the scrutiny that he gets. But it kind of made me want to vomit last night watching ESPN's coverage of them. They showed their close losses last year. This was the funniest thing I can remember seeing in recent memory. They were showing some of the close losses that Coach Prime and company had last year. The 48-41 loss to USC, they came back. The Stanford game, showing that they ultimately came back, but they lost. The Arizona game last year, you end up losing by 3, but they're highlighting it as if Colorado was in any of these games last year. And that, to me, was the funny part about it. That's why I say it makes me want to vomit almost. But that is the nature of the beast when you talk about probably the biggest draw right now in college football. I know that's going to turn people's stomachs. I know that's going to make people upset. I know that's going to make people feel like, ugh, why? They didn't win any games. You're right. They only won 4 games a season ago. But that ultimately with this program in year one, that's not what mattered. And I know people are going to be upset and say, well, winning is everything. You're the same guy that tells me to shut up about the Commander Stadium and to shut up about the uniform name or the uniform change and to shut up about a name change because winning is the priority. But you're saying with Colorado, it's not? Yes, I am. They're two different entities in two different, completely different situations in terms of the bottom feeder that Colorado was before Coach Prime and company took over. You make the argument Washington's been a bottom feeder relative to the rest of the landscape in the NFC. I get you. But this is why this group is in primetime each and every week. This is why they were the most talked about 4-win team in recent memory. It is the prime effect on Colorado. Their merchandise sales, and people are going to say money, 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 money. Money matters. In the age of NIL, money sure as hell matters. Their merchandise sales last year at Colorado increased 505%. Coach Prime effect. Their university applications up 53%. It's the Coach Prime effect. So while it's going to take some time to turn themselves into a contender, this year, I think, from a goal standpoint, I'm saying 6-7 wins. Ultimately, for Deion, this year and year two, the big goal, I would say internally, and I wouldn't say it publicly because I want to raise the expectations for us as a program and keep the clout around our name, you want to be bowl eligible. Like, that is what their goal should be this year, is to be bowl eligible. Now, you're going to get a whole bunch of clicks. You're going to have a couple of number one plays on SportsCenter simply because you've got, for my money, the best quarterback in college football. And then the best overall player, potentially, in college football. Talking about Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. So it is going to be a wild ride. It is going to be a long, interesting season that's going to be filled with ups, filled with downs. But as you saw last night, no matter who they're playing, it was North Dakota State. When's the last time North Dakota State has been on primetime on ESPN? Think Coach Prime, North Dakota State. So what it is, all of their games will be relevant this year, which makes the comments by one of the most respected college football voices in the country Paul Feinbaum of ESPN, it makes his comments that Deion and Colorado are irrelevant, it makes him look like a complete idiot. It just does. Now, relevant in terms of wins and losses? I don't know. It could be 4-win bad again next year. Because like I said, North Dakota State pretty much did whatever they wanted to on the ground. And Shador at halftime, I thought, was brilliant. Telling how a T.I. is, said, look, we got to go out and score every time. Newsflash, Shador. When you get into the meat of your Big 12 schedule, scoring every time out, it's not going to be realistic. But if you're the best quarterback in college football, like I tout you to be, maybe it is. Maybe it is. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to our pal Craig Hoffman. Former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden going to join the program later on. We'll be joined by Logan Paulson as well coming up at about 2:15. We'll take our first timeout. When we come back, as I mentioned, Adam Peters, general manager of the Washington Commanders, joined the pals Grant and Danny yesterday on 106.7 The Fan and had some interesting thoughts about balancing the now versus the future and the big problem spot that I've deemed for the 2024 Washington Commanders. All that and more next here on the Team 980. Well, I for sure am not a scrub. Some of you out there may be scrubs.
Okay, Mr. 11.
Is that what you're going to refer to me as for the foreseeable future?
Just for today.
301-230-0980, the number here on the Team 980. It's the Chris Russell Show. Checks out each and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Normally there's a caged animal sitting in this very chair that I'm in. Chris Russell out in New York going to take on some tennis. Never took the Rooster to be a tennis guy, but I'll be with you today, 1 to 4, sitting in for our guy. As he enjoys the great state of New York, and I say that facetiously because I can't stand New York. That's here nor there. Loaded show for you. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join us coming up at 2:15. We'll start to, by golly, take a look ahead to game week. Buccaneers, Commanders, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time coming up next Sunday. So we'll talk to Logan about that. No, he's already probably grinding the tape and figuring out what are the key pivotal matchups for each position group coming up next Sunday. But before we start to peek ahead to Tampa, we got to address some of the minor moves that have been made here by the Commanders since the initial 53 was put out on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. They've added four guys to the practice squad. They have added a wide receiver with a decent track record to the active 53. And it feels like right now, and there still could be some significant changes, it feels like right now, at least at wide receiver, that Washington has done all that they are going to do. And I think that's fine, I guess. And I understand I was on my soapbox Wednesday when I sat in with you all, saying that their wide receiver group is a massive problem, and they were a Terry McLaurin injury away from being the worst wide receiver unit in the National Football League. Do I still feel that way? Kinda. Yeah, I do. The Noah Brown signing for me moves the needle. It does. But it doesn't move the needle the way you all are acting like it is. Are you kidding? Now, I give credit where credit is due. Dan Quinn spoke glowingly yesterday about Noah Brown. The last 2 years, 5 touchdowns, over 70 catches, over 1,000 yards. That's 2 seasons combined, by the way. But this is the story on Noah Brown that I feel like we are not talking about enough, and is why I have hope but not confidence in him coming in here and making a significant impact. Last year, by far, the best year of his career. Most yards, second most targets he's ever gotten, But if you go over on ESPN and look at the old GP column, and I'm not talking about Grant Paulson, games played, he missed 7 football games last year. That's a problem. He missed 7 football games last year. He would have probably had 700, 800 yards receiving maybe if he could stay healthy. And we understand very well as a fan base the track record that we have had with injuries. So, yeah, I'm excited about Noah Brown. Yeah, I feel as if he could be a welcome addition to the team as long as he can stay healthy. And I think that is what's interesting. Not only did he miss 7 games last year, he's missed the majority of training camp for Houston. So I think we got to be very careful about putting too many expectations on Noah Brown and what he could be this year. In terms of when I expect him to ultimately contribute offensively, I sure as hell don't expect it in the first week against Tampa. Maybe in week 2 against the Giants, but that's a stretch. Maybe Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals, and our boy Noah Brown, boy, does he love going up against the Cincinnati defense. Last year, best game of his young career against Cincinnati. 30-27 win, 7 catches, a 172. Loves going against the Bengals. Will he be ready for that one? Not sure. You get my point here? There is still a tremendous deal of uncertainty with this wide receiver group, and that's okay. That's okay. I understand. I am cognizant of the fact that you cannot address and fill every hole that you have as a roster in one offseason. It's not feasible. It's not realistic. I get that. But what I want to start to take a look at is, should we be a little bit more critical of the job Adam Peters has done putting this roster together here in year 1? And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer at all. It's not at all what I'm here to do. I'm probably one of the more objective guys that you'll hear on this team. I get optimistic. I have my reasons for hope, a lot of which is centered around the quarterback. But also understand that this was a 4-win football team that earned the number 2 overall pick in the draft a season ago. They earned that. So we'll put Adam Peters under the microscope a little bit as we roll on throughout the show here. But I want to get to some of what Adam Peters had to say yesterday on Grant and Danny. And I think one of the first answers he gave to me is what is most important and directly ties into the conversation we're having now, trying to strike that balance of rebuilding versus winning now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do them both at the same time. So it's not so much a tug of war. It's just, but it is a balance. And make no mistake about it. I've said this, and I'm probably repeating myself a few times. It's not a rebuild; it's a recalibration. And we are trying to win right now, and we are. You know, we do have goals to be really good this season. But it is my job as a general manager, and really in conjunction with DQ, and we make every decision together is to be good now and to build for a sustainable team for the future, to a team that you guys will see competing for championships every year.
I think he answered that perfectly. That is as good of an answer as you can get. It's cliche filled. There's a little bit of, you know, GM speak. But in reality, like that is the delicate balance that Adam Peters and company is trying to strike. So when I asked the question of should we be more critical of the roster they've put together here in year 1, I say that understanding that you could not have filled every hole. Realistically, that's just not something that's feasible. But the areas they chose to address is where I'm all of a sudden looking. I am. I will be very honest with you. They had to go out and spend money this offseason. They led the National Football League in cap space. Or second in the National Football League, rather, in cap space heading into the year. And they spent some money. Dorrance Armstrong got a nice contract over from Dallas. Frankie Louvu got a decent contract over from Carolina. Bobby Wagner got brought in on a incentive-laden veteran deal. Same thing for Jeremy Chinn. I don't even think it's where they spent the money at is where I'm looking. I look at some of the draft choices. And like I said, we will touch on this and look at all different angles of it as the first hour of the show rolls on here. But I want to get to the man we just mentioned, Noah Brown. Because I do think his signing was impactful. How impactful, I think, is still to be determined. But I fully expect him to make an impact at some point during the season. I'm just not like all of you and think it's going to be right away week one against Tampa. I just think that's unfair expectations to put on a guy that has struggled with injury the past couple of years. Adam Peters, yesterday, joined Grant and Danny, had this to say about new Washington Commanders wide receiver, Noah Brown.
Yeah, Noah Brown was someone we actually were pursuing in free agency, too, and he didn't come to us, for different reasons, but someone we've had our eye on for a long time, someone I've had my eye on for a long time since he was at Ohio State. The champion, if I'm going to give credit to one person, Lance Newmark was the champion in the building for Noah, and he loved him for his play on the field and the style of play that he had, not only his ability but his play style, where he identified him as a commander and a guy who plays the way we want to play. So when we had the chance to get him at the price we got him at, it was a no-brainer. We jumped right on it, called his agent, and got him here in no time. So I really commend our scouting staff to be being ready for that, understanding that may happen, and pouncing on it immediately so we could be first in line.
Don't you love Adam Peters? There's a couple of things that really stood out. He plays like a commander. What does that mean? That's why I'm excited to see week one against Tampa. Let's find out what the hell it means to play like a commander in 2024. So glad we don't got to watch a certain NFL network analyst with his hands crossed on the sideline for 17 weeks. Thank you, Jesus. But no, this is why I love Adam Peters, and this is why I think he will have a tremendous amount of success here. This is starting to become a building that where people want to be. They're starting to foster a culture that guys want to be around. Lance Newmark mentioned it yesterday in his media availability. They're fostering a culture where guys want to be. That is what it means to be a commander from the executive side. And they're starting to figure that out. They're bringing in talented individuals. But this is why I think with all of the collection of talent that they've acquired in the front office, this is why I think they're going to really be able to hit on some guys and not just be a mosh posh of egos. When you highlight Lance Newmark the way that he did in that presser and the cut that we just played for you, you don't think Lance heard that? You don't think Lance is going, hey, thanks, Adam. It's the type of camaraderie that some of you may not value in a front office, but I do because I understand how much of a ego-driven position the general manager spot is. You want to be right for everything. You want the credit for everything, and you want no blame when things go wrong because it's not all on you. Well, Adam Peters just straight up told you, it's not all on him. They brought in Lance Newmark as the assistant general manager because of what he brings to the table. And I think Adam Peters yesterday did a tremendous job highlighting that. The one answer, that kind of left me puzzled when it comes to Adam Peters and his vision for this roster, there was one answer that really raised my eyebrows. Let's hear that next on the Team 980.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The number here on the Team 980 is the Chris Russell Show. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Coming up 2:15, our pal Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join the program. We'll talk a little bit of college football before we get out of here as well with Tommy Bowden, former Clemson head coach. That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Right now, I want to continue to let you hear from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. He joined Grant and Danny yesterday over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, gave a bunch of interesting nuggets on balancing the now versus rebuilding. He talked about the signing of wide receiver Noah Brown. He spoke a little bit about the expectations that he has for the team this year. But one answer in particular really, really made me scratch my head. Really made my eyebrows raise. Really got my attention. Not because I totally disagree with what he's saying. I just think it's a unique perspective. Here is Commanders General Manager talking about the state of the cornerback position yesterday on Grant and Danny.
You know, internally, we feel a little bit better than maybe externally, and that's the case most of the time. We see these guys play day in and day out, and you go down the roster and the depth chart, and all of these guys have gotten better when you're talking about the secondary. Really, Emmanuel Forbes has gotten significantly better, and that's a testament to how he's practice, how he's worked, and how he's been coached. Jason Simmons is an excellent coach. Joe Witt, those guys have really gotten him to improve quite a bit, and he's done the work too. He's made a bunch of plays in the last few practices. So, you know, and then Mikey Sanders still has been awesome inside of the nickel, and he can play some outside too. And St. Juice is long, athletic, and has made a lot of plays on the ball this camp as well. So, you know, it remains to be seen how we do on the field, but very confident in all those guys and the coaching staff putting them in the right place to succeed.
It's Adam Peters giving a vote of confidence to the cornerback position for the Washington Commanders. Now, I have said it all offseason long. We are at the mercy of the evaluator. I trust whatever the hell they're going to do to put out the best possible team during the regular season. I still feel that way. I understand what that was. I understand what that answer was about. That was an answer to say, you know what? Y'all just wait and see. We have something up our sleeves that you all aren't privy to. And I can respect that. But good God, Adam Peters, you handsome, blue-eyed, perfect jawline devil. How in the hell do you take 4 guys onto your initial 53 at corner? One of them's a rookie, and oh, by the way, 2 of them, your incumbent starters on the defense, they gave up the second most passing touchdowns in NFL history. Yet I'm supposed to believe that you have confidence in this cornerback group, that internally you all feel better about them? Okay. That's the great thing about the National Football League. That's the great thing about these press conferences. It won't be the last time we hear from Adam Peters. And I have to imagine, barring some massive trade between now and the start of the regular season, we probably won't hear from AP for a little while. And time is going to pass, and we're going to get to see Emmanuel Forbes in coverage against Mike Evans. We're going to get to see Benjamin St. Juste in coverage against Malik Nabers in week 2. We're going to get to see Mike Davis go up against Jamar Chase. everything that was said has to be answered for. But good God, you cannot realistically tell me that internally you all are comfortable with what you have at corner. It's a tough sell. It's a tough sell. It's like trying to sell water to a damn whale. Can't do it. Can't do it. And the most frustrating part about all of it, and this is where I brought up the question of, well, should we be looking at the job Adam Peters has done here during the first offseason? With the premise of, hey, can't plug all your holes in one offseason. You're damn right you can't. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty and you look at their current holes, one can make the argument that, you know what? You probably could have allocated your resources a wee bit better back in April. Straight up. And I'm not trying to do the hindsight 2020 bit. I'm not about that. I'm about calling a spade. And the spade that I'm playing in my hand on August the 30th is that the Commanders corner. Let me make sure I enunciate before you all jump down my throat. Pause. The cornerback position for the Washington Commanders right now at this current juncture is in shambles. That's not to be hyperbolic. That's not to put anyone down. That position group, I have as much confidence in the Commanders secondary. I can't even give you a good enough analogy. There's no confidence that exists. There's not. And I understand we've seen good things out of Benjamin St. Juice in the past. Right? That 2022, when this defense was a top 10 unit statistically in the National Football League, one can make the argument Benjamin St. Juice was a key part in that. No doubting that at all. He was. But the fact of the matter is this. When you take a look at where things currently stand for that group, it's pretty difficult for me to look and say, yeah, I've got confidence in them. Especially, and we've talked about this, especially when you consider what has transpired over the past season with that unit. And I don't say it because it's my favorite stat that I've memorized. I say it because it's embarrassing. You gave up the second most passing touchdowns in the history of the National Football League last year, yet you thought it was a bright idea to return the same starting corners like they weren't the problem. What? Adam Peters, I love you. We got the t-shirts on the way. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. I pick up everything that he's put down this offseason. I can get on board with it. It makes sense. There's logic to it. But where things currently stand at the cornerback position, you can't get me to speak glowingly about that group. You just can't. And this is where I start to raise the question of, well, hey, should we be looking at the job Adam Peters has done in year one? Because I'll be real with you. And I hinted at it on Wednesday in studio here with Chris Russell. Their second round pick, pick number 36, Johnny Newton, out of the University of Illinois, on draft day, I was ecstatic. I was through the roof about acquiring a player of his skill level. Badass in Illinois. Lined up as a standing defensive lineman in the A-gap. You saw him lined up outside shade of the guard. You saw him standing up as a stand-up edge rusher. You saw him with his hand in the dirt as a three technique. The kid can play. He's got a motor that coaches can't coach up. He plays with his hair on fire. He actually resembles and embodies what a Commander is going to be, I would say. I think he's got all those traits. But the big question for me when it comes to Johnny Newton is, when the hell are we going to see him on the field? Because I'll tell you what, there are a couple of draft picks that went after Johnny Newton at positions of need, I might add, that were not addressed and were not selected. And oh, by the way, they're thriving in their current situation. 36th overall pick last year in the draft was Johnny Newton out of Illinois. Couple of picks later, Kamari Lassiter gets drafted by the Houston Texans, cornerback. Guess who's a starting cornerback opposite Derek Stingley in week one for a Houston Texans team that's got their eyes on the Super Bowl? Kamari Lassiter. I'll raise you another one. Max Melton, Rutgers. Went shortly after Johnny Newton as well. Starting week one for the Arizona Cardinals at outside corner. Yet we have Benjamin St. Juste and Emmanuel Forbes. When you've got the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL, and John Allen and Daron Payne, kind of looks crazy when you draft another defensive tackle. Oh, by the way, did I mention you had Fildarian Mathis under contract as well? Former second round pick. And don't mistake this for me trying to poo-poo on Adam Peters. This is not what I'm doing at all. I'm raising the question of, well, hey, did they address the right positions in the draft? Because right now, when you go in with four damn corners, I got to raise the question. 301-230-0980 is the number. What is your biggest concern for the Washington Commanders heading into week one? And what do you feel best about heading into week one? 301-230-0980 is the number. And a bonus question, if you really want to get into the weeds with me. Should we be more critical of the job Adam Peters has done putting this roster together in year number one? All that and more coming up next on the Team 980. Just getting rocking and rolling here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Liddell Willingham sitting in for the Rooster Chris Russell as we take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He will take you on your afternoon drive home. Programming note, we've been teasing it all show long. Make sure you keep it locked right here on the Team 980 coming up at about 2:15. We'll get a lot smarter. Professor Paulson, former Redskins tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast with our own Craig Hoffman, going to join us at 2:15 to talk all things burgundy and gold. And it feels as if, just from talking to Logan off the record, talk a little bit about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is almost a game week. Wow. Long, drawn-out offseason filled with slogans, catchphrases, T-shirts, you name it. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time next Sunday. It's for real. You can throw all the slogans out of the door. You can put all your T-shirts on the rack, anybody, anywhere, anytime, all your cute slogans that you got up in the building. None of that matters. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time come Sunday when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready to roll. You got to be ready to go, and I have all the confidence in the world that this group is ready to go. I believe in the people that they have in the building. I think this is the regime. These are the decision makers that are going to take us out of the football hell that we've been in. I don't know how that's going to go from wins to losses. I say from a ceiling standpoint, probably looking at 9-10 wins, best case scenario. Worst case scenario, this could be a 4-win team next year. Phone line's open, though. 301-230-0980 is the number. Should we be a little bit more critical of the job general manager Adam Peters has done building this roster here in year number one? And, if you got it for me, your biggest concern, biggest bright spot heading into next year for the Commanders. Lap is in D.C. What's going on, Lap?
Hey, what's up, Linnell, youngest in charge? How's it going, bro?
What's
you good?
On, buddy? How you doing? I'm good. I'm good.
Linnell?
Can you hear me, Lap?
No, I couldn't hear you at first. Can you hear me?
What's going on, brother? I got you.
Oh, nothing, man. Nothing, man. Yeah, I mean, I guess with Adam Peters, we have to, of course, wait and see. It's hard for us to be patient because we've been in turmoil for so many years, man. I'm looking at it, I guess, a little differently, that I'm hoping that something is improved. You know, we will have consistent quarterback play. Hopefully we'll put up more points this year, and hopefully the defense will be better. I am concerned about the corners, no doubt, man. You're right on the money with that, especially if you bring in some people back from the Ron Rivera era. Receivers, I'm a little concerned, but I'm wondering if the safeties are going to be a big part of kind of masking the corners, and I'm wondering if the running backs and tight ends are going to be a big part of masking the receivers. You know, we pretty much gave Doxson up for nothing, so hopefully Noel Brown and all these other guys that we got can do something. But this is my thing, though, Linnell. This is what I've been saying for the longest. If you didn't get rid of Terry, you didn't get rid of Payne, you didn't get rid of Allen, we have a balance of veterans and young guys on this team. You know, why are we not looking to make the playoffs? Like, everybody.
Why are we not looking to make the playoffs? Because you have the worst starting corner duo in the NFL. That's why we're not looking to make the playoffs. That's why playoffs are in question.
Well, I'm saying the mindset, like, if you got a balance of young and veterans on here, because you got veterans, we could have possibly traded. Some of these veterans that we got in free agency could have went to a contender. So my thing is, if they're here, man, like, our mindset should be trying to make the playoffs.
I think that is the mindset, Lap. It just may not be the mindset of the general manager. I appreciate the call, as always. 301-230-0980 is the number here on the Team 980. Looking at the first offseason under new general manager Adam Peters, as we sit here on August 30th with four corners on the roster, two of which were a part of that defense that gave up the second most passing touchdowns in NFL history, should we be questioning potentially some of the decisions that Adam Peters has made here? When I say questioning the decisions, I don't mean crapping on Adam Peters. This isn't me dunking on AP. I am fully aware, I am fully cognizant of the fact that Rome wasn't built in a day. I get it. But you could have done better than what you're doing right now at the cornerback position. 301-230-0980 is the number. Jax is out in Calvert County. What's going on, Jax?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Nanelle.
What's going on, brother?
Burger and Gold. I think what you're saying is valid, but at the same time, you know, we don't have the luxury of time to evaluate what the new coaching staff is going to do with this team. Because before the draft and all this was coming up, we was praising this defensive minor coach that, hey, they're going to get these guys ready. I think now I look at the season as probably phase one of seeing what we got to make adjustments for phase two. But what you're questioning is valid, you know what I'm saying? But we just got to see it. And I think the closer we get, it's almost like Christmas. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. I want to see it. Once we get through that phase and we start seeing the play on the field, we may be surprised. We may be like, hey, man, I knew it. These guys suck. But
Jax,
we got to hold fast.
Go ahead. Jax, I'm not looking to do that. I'm not looking to dunk on anybody. Y'all take me for a joke. This team, in their win-loss success, it directly impacts my mood. I'm being dead serious. So I want this group to succeed. I want Emmanuel Forbes to take a step forward. I want that. You think I want to be sitting up Sunday night pissed off? No, nobody wants that. But I have to be objective, and it is my job, Jackson. I appreciate the call, to be objective and ask the tough questions. You drafted Johnny Newton with the 36th overall pick, and you have the highest paid defensive tackle duo in football on top of a second rounder in Phil Mathis that you drafted a year ago. You had Kamari Lassiter, who's starting at outside corner for the Texans week one, and Max Melton. Those two went 42 and 43rd respectively, but we chose to go with the D-tackle. 301-230-0980 is the number. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get your calls next on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. It's Team 980.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.